This is the Deliberate Talks weekly podcast, powered by the Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures. Tune in every week to learn something new about digital marketing and entrepreneurship. And now, over to the voice of your host, Dukshin Adyantaya. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome back, my friends, to a new week filled with full of positive vibes. And who better to add to positivity than the gorgeous and talented Kainaz Motiwala. Hello, Kainaz. Welcome to the virtual studios of the Deliberate Talks podcast. How are you doing today?
Hi, Dukshin. Thank you. I'm doing well. I'm just apologizing in advance to everybody in case my voice is a little throaty and man-like because I'm just recovering from a virus. So
You sound absolutely fine on the mic as well. Kainaz is an actor, model, environmentalist, and a fitness freak. She's popularly known for her roles in Breakup Sid, Ragini MMS, Pachala, and more. And I'm going to start with the question, which you must have answered like 100 times already. But very curious to know the story behind how you ended up getting those roles and how is the experience acting with Ranveer Shahid and Rajkumar Rao?
I was actually a journalist and I was working for this magazine called Hair. And they used to have this makeover every month. And one of the months, one of the ADs from Pachala had, you know, was one of the models. And I was coordinating the shoot. So I was there for makeover and she saw me and she said, you know, you're perfect for this role. And it's this cool kid opposite Shahid Kapoor and all of that. And at first I thought she was just taking the mickey out of me because I was like, who asked you to like do a film nimbly like that? Right. But then she said, Shahid, then you just have to come for an audition, you know. So I said, oh, great. Okay. You know, I thought that time that I will meet Shahid Kapoor. So I said, okay, cool. You know what? I'm going to come for the audition. So I went for the audition. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Shahid wasn't there. But okay, I was only 20 at the time. So pardon my ridiculous behavior. Yeah, so I just went on a whim. I did the audition. And the very next day, they called me and they said, you're in this film. And I was like, what? Wow. Okay. So I actually took a sabbatical from my job and I thought, okay, ek mahine ka shoot hai, I'll do it and I'll go back. And then there's no looking back after that. So that was the story of Chala, which was the first film I shot. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, the struggle started and then I realized that every film is not going to fall into my lap like this. So then I started auditioning. And then I auditioned for Wake Up Sid and Wake Up Sid happened. Then I did a few more auditions. Then I auditioned for Ragini MMS. Then next, so every film that I have done, audition, literally every job, not just every film, but like every job that you audition. And that's how it works. So your question about working with these guys, it was amazing. So Shahid and Ranveer were obviously big stars at the time already. Mm. And they were absolutely fantastic to work with. And with Raj, we were both one film old at the time and absolutely new. And this was like our first lead role. And we were both these starry-eyed kids, you know, wanting to really put our best foot forward. So like we really bonded wonderfully and we still in touch and he's amazing. So that's what it was like.
Right. And all three movies, different kind of roles, right? I'm more interested in the Ragini MMS part where horror film. I'm shooting with Rajkumar Rao, right? The horror film experience. How different is it actually when you get into a role in comparison to, say, a Wake Up Sid or a Pachala?
So any other kind of genre, right, you have some reference point, right? You know, like in Wake Up Sid was pretty close to my character in real life. She's like an educated girl also working in a magazine and all of that. So not cool because you're borrowing from your own life to portray that character. Shala, I was playing a student who was in love with her teacher. Also, not that I've ever had a crush on my teacher, but like, you know where, you know, you've seen people like that or you know where to draw from. But with a horror film, hopefully you've never had an experience with a paranormal entity. So That's, you know, you have no space to terms of reality, right? So right. You have to conjure up images in your head and you have to imagine that things are happening to you.
Right.
So we had extensive workshops for a month working for Agni MMS to kind of get into the character. And it was a found footage film, right? So it had to be extremely real. It even if for 1 second, you know, we were not authentic in our fear, the audience would catch it because the camera is like right in your face. There are extreme close-ups and things because it's shot like that. So you could not have made any kind of mistake there. So we had workshops for a month where we just kind of learned how to conjure up this world in our head and be afraid and stuff. And by the end of it, I think by the time we reached set, we were pretty much scared of everything. Because I remember we used to shoot at night and, you know, this place also was very creepy and eerie, honestly. Like, just, there was something about it. The vibe, okay. Right. And there were times when Raj and I would stand outside the bathroom and the other one had to go because we were so scared. So I would like, literally, you know, tell him, can you please come with me and just like wait outside? And he would do the same. And it may sound really crazy, but we were both like terrified all the time. And before we had like a big scene, there used to be room in the house on the ground floor, which was very creepy. I don't even know. There's like nothing ever happened, but just gave you all the wrong vibes. So we would literally lock ourselves in that room and come out 5 minutes later, completely like terrified and ready for the shot. So, yeah.
And what about the ghost who played the role, right? In Ragini Amin's role, was she shooting with you?
So, it's a very funny story because we let us see her the first time. So she just landed up on set and all. So the first time we saw her, okay, was like, okay, wow, cool, you know. And after that, this she was a very sweet auntie and she would, you know, come to me and be like, beta, tumne khana khaya? And I'm like, auntie, mujhse baat karo because I want to be afraid of you, right? Keep that kind of thing, but she was so sweet that it was really funny. But yeah,
well, I can understand the kind of effort that's gone to prepare this role. Now, you know, again, from also modeling, right? Behind this glamorous world of modeling, tell me what goes into preparing yourself for assignments for modeling as well as acting, you know, even films. How did you really prepare for all your roles or all your assignments that you've done so far?
I think the most effort obviously goes into a film only because you're going to play that character for a long time. And, you know, you think about the backstory of the character. You read the script thoroughly a couple of times. You sit with the director. You discuss, you know, you first try and understand your character completely. That's the most important thing. Right. You understand her past, present. You understand her motivations. Why is she doing a certain thing a certain way? A certain line may sometimes not seem natural to you as an actor. Mm-hmm. And then you always sit and discuss with your director and, you know, to understand why that line is there. And I've been lucky enough to work with those who are open to a dialogue. So then they will kind of, you know, try to explain to you why a certain line or a certain scene is there. You as, you know, because you're playing the character, you kind of embody that person. You can explain why it may not seem organic and then, you know, you come to a middle ground. So as far as prep for a film goes, like just understanding your character and then, you know, just living and being that character. In terms of ad and modeling assignments, not so much prep really because, you know, normally it's just a 1 or 2 day thing and you just kind of go on set and obviously you've auditioned for, so you know what the ad is about and they've liked what you've presented.
Right.
And then, yeah, it's just, you know, you put that out on set. But the prep mainly happens for films and I'm guessing web series and TV shows also, yeah.
Okay. And you know, just elaborating on that conversation, you have the world of theater too, and many find it easier way to create their portfolios for acting and assignments via theater. It used to be a very popular way to actually, a more mainstream way to go at Prithvi Cafe and try to network kind of people and end up getting your roles, at least a small role, if not anything, in a film. And here we are in a world of technology and social media that's giving people a platform to prove their worth, right? Now, the generation that we both come from, we've been a part of both worlds now, and the traditional and the modern day opportunity. What's the difference that you notice, and how easier has it now become for people to get their chance in television and film compared to a decade before?
So it's interesting you said our generation, because I feel like social media and everything changing and these bite-sized videos of 20 seconds and all, I find it very hard, honestly. I feel like it comes so easily to teens and, you know, people in their early 20s. And I'm like, wow, they're so creative, the stuff they're coming out with, and you know, all the reels that people are making and the videos that people are making. It's amazing. There's so much creativity out there, you know. So I'm guessing it's easier for people because it was also like you had to move to Bombay and give auditions here. Now I feel like there are so many people, so many digital creators everywhere, and so many of them have huge following. And it's easy, I guess, for casting people and for them to be casting directors as well. So I guess it's really opened it up for everyone, which is great. It might signal an end to nepotism. We don't know, but I feel like it's a great thing. And I feel like it's amazing that so many young people are showing all their different talents. It may not just be acting, I'm seeing so many. So I think that's great.
Right. And if this happened 10 years ago, would you have taken the same route in terms of getting into more assignments?
So I guess so, for sure, because there's the future. And like now in the pandemic, even auditions have gone online because, you know, whatever few auditions were happening, now things have opened up and now I don't, they might be closing down again. But, you know, in the peak of the pandemic, all the auditions were happening online. So that was a good thing.
Right. Yeah. I'm just going to touch upon that part where you said, because of pandemic in the last 2 years, how things have shaped up. Understand how difficult it has become from a modeling as well as an acting industry in terms of how people are finding new ways to get busy or get more work. What's your take on that?
I think it was very bad for everyone because no work happening for the longest time. There were so many people who come to Bombay, right? They're not from the city. So I know that a lot of people had to move back home. There was no work happening. And there are lots of daily wage workers in the film industry, like the light people and, you know, costume dadas, spot boys. It's so hard for them. And I know that they were really struggling. I got messages from a couple of spot boys asking me for work. And I didn't have anything to give them. So it was definitely a difficult time for the entire industry whole. But yeah, I think people kind of, you know, took to social media again, you know, started influencing work, creating content. Right. So I think that's pretty much what it's been like. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. And, you know, on a more candid side from the industry perspective, we know the stories of the dark side of the industry, right? There's also a side of keeping up to public uninvited comments and so on, right? One, did you face any such challenges in your career? And also you're into fitness, spirituality, and, you know, wanting to start something of your own. Does that help you to keep you sane from the chaos of glamour? You know, how do you keep yourself sane?
So yeah, you know, I'm lucky. I don't get trolled a lot. I'm a very positive and very loving community on social media. So I actually don't use Twitter anymore because I just feel like it's become a very negative space, constantly fighting and, you know, it's just positive. And I feel like people just want to vent all their frustration on that platform. So I pretty much stopped using it. since many years now. So mainly in terms of Instagram, I feel like people are really nice. Of course, you will get like, you know, unwanted comment now and then, but it doesn't happen very often. So earlier I would respond and be like, you know, why are you spreading hate? But now I feel like, why engage with what I call energy vampires? Because, you know, they're sucking your energy. Why engage with them? So I block them and I move on, because it's just easy that way. And, you know, keep your community and your space positive like that.
Right.
So that's what I do. And yeah, you touched upon the spirituality bit. Yeah, I have been practicing yoga religiously and, you know, following the spirit path of yoga for a while now. And I think all of this comes from there only, realizing that you don't need to engage with everybody. If somebody is giving you positivity, for sure. Like, I engage with everyone who sends me DMs. I try to make the time to talk to everybody, because I feel like they are spending their time to write to me. Yeah. And there are times, especially in this COVID, you know, the peak of the pandemic, I had people sending me messages of their personal loss or, you know, their stories. And it was overwhelming sometimes, because they just wanted me to hear them out.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, like, if someone's coming to me like that, I'm going to talk to them. You know, someone else opened up about being transgendered and not being able to come out to their family.
Right.
So I've had lots of people over time message me about personal journeys, their personal struggles. So I always take the time to with them and talk to them. But if someone's going to send me some stupid message, I'm just going to block them. That's it. That's my policy. So,
right. Yeah. Nice. Okay. And just to conclude this round in a more lighter note, tell me 2 to 3 most funniest stories that has happened to you during auditions or your acting career.
One was like, I remember ghost auntie, as I call her. She used to, she had to scare me in the film, but then she would come to me like between the takes, and, you know, because there were times we would shoot for like 24 hours, and also, you know, I'd be exhausted. She was this auntie, right? And she would be like, bit up some tico, have you eaten, drink something? You know, it was so fun, because like before cut, I'm like supposed to be terrified of her, and then here she is, this sweet auntie who's trying to take care of me. So
were you really scared of her?
No, it was very hard. So like, I kept telling her, auntie, like, don't talk to me right now, because, you know, it takes me out of the zone. But yeah, she was just sweet ass. So funny incidents, not embarrassing, but okay, like Pathshala, we had like a major chicken pox pandemic, only I would call it, because all the children got it.
Oh.
And then on the last day of the shoot, even I got it. So it was like one wonderful memory of Pashala. Not funny or embarrassing, but just, I don't think anyone knows about this. And let me think of one for makeup sinner. Oh yeah. So there was one scene where, you know, Ranbir and I, like one of my last scenes in the film, we had this party.
Uh-huh.
And we're doing shots. That's like one shot. And obviously you get water, right?
Uh-huh.
The shots are not tequila, it's water. So so you know, we were doing this take, and I don't know, Ayan wanted this one expression from me, which somehow it wasn't happening. And Ranbir mixed salt in water, like made it really salty, and I didn't know about it, and I just gulped it down like a shot for the shot. And that was the scene which is there in the film, where I'm just hearing like, oh my god, I can't believe you just did that. So yeah. That was yeah.
Okay, super. And with that, Kenaz, we conclude the first round of questions. Time to move on to our rapid fire round of questions.
I hate rapid fires.
And this is my favorite part of the show. So,
sure.
Ready for this?
Okay.
Okay. Things you love to do when you're not at work.
things I love to do: yoga, reading, playing with my daughter, playing with my dogs,
okay,
hanging out with friends. Yeah.
Okay. Two people who you have learned a lot from when it comes to acting or modeling.
Oh, Raj, Rajkumar Rao, Atul Mongia, who was the casting director of Ragini MMS and so our associate director. He was also our acting coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned a lot from him.
And the longest amount of takes you have taken to get a scene right?
I have no idea. But sometimes, yeah, quite a few actually. It can be, yeah.
Which film did you take the maximum takes for?
It would have to be Chala only, because that was the first time I ever faced the camera. And the weird thing is that they actually started film. The first scene of the film was shot with me and Rishabh, you know.
Yeah.
And there were some non-actors. And there were other actors on set. And we were like hoping that, you know, ours would be next or something so we could see what they were doing. And this is like our first ever day on set. And they are like, camera left, me dekho. And we're like, what is camera left? So, yeah, Pachala for sure.
Okay. If you decide one day to become a content creator on YouTube and start your own show, what would it be called?
What would it be called? God, Dakshin. No, yeah, this is not something I would decide on a rapid fire. I would take a long time to think about
what would the show be on there?
Probably just like the things that I find interesting. So a lot of things, maybe like talk about motherhood, spirituality.
Super.
Talk about acting. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Acting, modeling, or anything else? What is your first preference?
Acting, 100%.
Okay. OTT, television, or films? What would you love to work on this year?
I think OTT has really opened up a lot for everybody. There's lots of interesting content being made. So OTT, I think, yeah.
Okay. If you did not get that audition call, what would you have been today?
A journalist only, I think. Because, yeah, I was admitted into university for my master's. And then I just like left everything to pursue this. So I would have definitely been a journalist.
Okay, awesome. If there's one thing new that you want to do this year, what would it be?
Oh, I want to read more books. I think that's my solution for this year.
Okay. And finally, before we conclude, what are three valuable tips for aspiring actors or models from a personal and professional aspect?
I think the most important thing is to have faith in yourself and believe in your own dreams, because there'll be lots of people, lots of naysayers who will tell you you can't do it or you're not good enough. So you need to believe in yourself. You need to persevere. There are no shortcuts. You have to keep auditioning. You will get so many rejections, but you just have to like keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think would be, personally, I feel it's very important to have close friends outside of the industry to keep grounded, because the industry is kind of like a bubble, and get sucked into it, you may start having wrong notions about yourself, or you may become, you know, success may go to your head very easily. So having friends outside the industry or normal life, I think that's really important.
Okay. And with that, Janal, we come to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for making time for this conversation. And before we go, where can our listeners get in touch with you or follow your work?
So I'm on Instagram. It's my full name, Kaya Motiwala, spelled KAYANAZMOTIVALA.
Thank you so much for being a part of the show. I hope you had a good time.
I did.
Super. Best wishes as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Dakshin. Bye.
Bye. And so that brings us to the end of today's conversation. And before we wrap up, here's an interesting fact for the day. The emergence of OTT platforms like Netflix, Amazon, and others have resulted in an upward growth trend for acting as a career. a lot of them being YouTubers, digital creators, and theater artists. So that's it for today. This is Dakshin Attimtaya signing off. Don't forget to hit the follow button on your favorite audio platforms and get in touch with me on thedeliberatetalks@gmail.com. Join in next Monday for a new episode. Until then, inspire and be inspired.